Hey, this is Steve the Lemon Sour with Carol Miller's Get the Lead Out, and you're listening to the Ramble On Podcast.
And this is Brian Gardner with the Ramble On Podcast. Brian Gardner, who writes the blog Ramble On, briangardner.ca/RambleOn. I'm not going to spell it out this week. I'm going to try and avoid that little piece of business, and you can just Google it, figure out the spelling yourself. Or listen to podcast 1 and 2, where I spell it out far too many times for my own. Speaking of 1 and 2, I plead for feedback, and I got a little bit this week. I got Mr. Wyatt Brake, who's one of the, you know, one of those guys who's if you follow for badge holders only, he's a biggish guy there, and he knows, and I don't mean biggish as in heavy, I mean, he knows his stuff really, really, really well. He's one of those guys, and so he sent me a quick email. Hi, Brian. I'm listening to podcast number 2, and you only got one comment on the first podcast. I have to apologize since I actually did write a comment, but apparently was unsuccessful when trying to post it. Don't have time to rewrite everything at the moment, just a couple of suggestions and praise, but I'm enjoying the podcast. Anyway, running out the door now, going to the Pearl Jam Festival in Wisconsin, and I heard Pearl Jam has been on tour, and everybody's raving about how good they are. I've heard a number of things online, so that's cool. Glad, hope you enjoyed that, Wyatt, and thank you for writing. And this is the third podcast. This is number 3 in the series, and I think it's going pretty well. I have an interview this week, Steve the Lemon Sour, who you heard in the intro, from Carol Miller's Get the Lead Out, and also LedZeppelinNews.com, Lemon Squeezings, I believe, is a blog he also did. And we have about a 12-minute interview, so we just kind of chat. We've spent a good day together in New York City this summer, so we're friendly enough that it was more chat than interview, but it was fun, and we'll get to that later. So on the news front, first, there's actual Led Zeppelin news. The O2 rehearsal bootleg. There's a bootleg of O2 rehearsal material back in July. First 4 songs got released, Rock and Roll, Good Times, Bad Times, Since I've Been Loving You, I think. I don't remember the 4th one, but there were 4 songs got released. The rehearsals from the 5th of December, 2007, 5 days, I think it is, before the big show. It was their final rehearsal before the show. And now, about a week and a half ago, it came out that one of the companies that sells bootlegs pretty much the whole show together, 2 CD sets, and it has hit the internet this afternoon itself. It hit the internet just this afternoon. And this is Friday, September the 17th. You can get it at, and I'm going to kind of talk about it a little bit later, but you can get it at the Ultimate Bootleg Experience, which is a blog, the Ultimate Bootleg Experience 2 at blogspot.com. He hooks to a couple of those upload sites that you have, the free upload sites, or you can pay to get the fast download sort of thing. And the ones, you know, they really are not very functional and but difficult to use. Be patient. I got them. It took me about 2 hours to just keep clicking on friggin' reset before I got both. There's 2 different files, disc 1, disc 2, but you'll get it. Be patient, sit there, click, 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 click. It'll come to you. It will. And it's well, I'll talk about it later. But yeah, it's a good, boy, it's nice to have something like that hit the thing. Well, speaking of material, I've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about the Robert Plant DVD, Blue Note, and just today, just kind of checking things for this, I checked Sea of Sound, which I don't have the website handy, the name, but C-S-E-E of Sound. And they are the main sellers for the DVD, and it's currently out of stock. So it seems to be selling well, like meet or exceeding expectations, I guess, on sales, which is always good news for something like this. It means there'll be more. It means there'll be crappy stuff, too. But it's a good DVD. And, yeah. Glad to have that. Interesting one. Now, when I interviewed Steve, when I talked to Steve, I mentioned this. However, I got it backwards in the end, re-listening to the interview. I went, oh, that was a dumb mistake. Robert Plant did not say this week. Jeff backed it. Jeff Beck hinted that he would do a project with Robert Plant. He basically said, it was one of these, oh, he came to my dressing room and we had a lovely time and we're talking about doing something. And personally, I suspect it's a joke more than anything else. I'm thinking just the way it sounds, that it's more like it's he was having the guy on, or here's what he says. I met him recently. He came into my dressing room. I was playing in a New Orleans jazz rock blues festival, and I hear, "All right, how you doing?" "All right, how you doing?" And it was Robert Plant. We had a lovely chat. I think you maybe saw the act, put on a pretty good show. And they think there may be something there. Who knows? And that's kind of the key bit. It almost sounds like he's having more fun than being serious. Who knows for sure? They're a couple of busy guys. Well, I guess Robert Plant's not so busy these days, but scheduling is always tough in this sort of thing. And it may just be chat. It may just be talk. But it would be, boy, that'd be interesting. I mean, he's just another great guitar player, and we know what Robert Plant can do when he has a great guitar player beside him. So that's, but I don't think there's anything actually there, but you have to mention it. On the other hand, there's rumors, there's hints, there's suggestions that Robert Plant is in Texas right now. What's he doing there? Nobody knows. Here's a couple of ideas. Alison Krauss and Union Station are playing Austin City Limits tomorrow night. That's Saturday the 17th. Probably by the time this thing hits iTunes, we'll know whether he actually played with Alison Krauss. There's been whispers over time that Alison Krauss is not a big Robert Plant fan anymore. That there's a reason they haven't played together in a few years. And the reason is Alison Krauss not so pleased with Robert Plant. And even if it's not true, apparently the guy who set up the whole album does movies and stuff. I forget his name, but he really doesn't like Robert Plant, apparently. I've heard that. But we'll see, maybe. But also, Patty Griffith is in Marfa on, it's either Wednesday or Thursday, I'm not sure the date, at the Trans Peoples Festival of Music and Love, which sounds like the kind of thing Robert Plant would enjoy, actually. And it's at the El Cosmico Hotel or Hall, maybe. I don't know where exactly what the deal is with it. I have no idea where Marfa, Texas is. I didn't think to look it up, and Steve mentions it in the interview, and I go, "Jeez, I just don't know. Marfa, Texas, who knows?" But they're having a festival of music and love. So I hope, Robert Plant may turn up there. More interesting, though, Robert Plant does turn up at these things sometimes. This is what happens. He's a musician. He likes to hang out with musicians. He show up places. Wouldn't be a shock if he showed up at either Alison Krauss's or Patty. Now that the Band of Joy is wrapping up, maybe he wants to talk to Alison Krauss again. I mean, you never know what he's thinking, really. But there's also rumors, there's also kind of word that John Paul Jones has been spotted in Texas. What is John Paul Jones doing in Texas when Robert Plant's in Texas? That's enough. Now, of course, as I just mentioned, Texas is big. So it's entirely possible they're both in Texas, and I have no idea of the fact. But, it's not like they're both from Texas. So let's just say something we're going to watch the next week or two. See what happens. But John Paul Jones is apparently there. Now, from John Paul Jones News World, on September 7 days ago, Sky Arts HD in Britain. That's Sky Arts is in Sky TV. HD is in high definition. Played a Seasick broadcast from the Crop Ready Festival. And of course, John Paul Jones played with Seasick Steve at the Crop Ready Festival. Or Crop Ready, maybe that is. So if you're in Britain, love to hear how that went. Also, if you hit the internet, the full Reading and Leeds Festival set by C6 Steve is online. You can watch video of it. And it's at BB. And this is probably bad prep. I have not actually gone to see if it works worldwide. Some BBC stuff doesn't. But have a go at it. It's bbc.co.uk/readingandleads/2011/C6Steve, all one word. And Reading and Leads is reading as in a book, and L-E-E-D-S, all one word again. So that's bbc.co.uk/readingandleads/2011/C6Steve, all one word. And the full show, the full set, C6 Steve set with John Paul Jones is available for viewing. And I'm presuming that's worldwide. Jimmy Page. Now, Jimmy Page isn't doing much of anything other than writing On This Day I Did, and which us Jimmy Page fans have been hanging on to all summer and now into fall. And there's been a few in the last couple of weeks worth mentioning, I suppose. On September 9th, he talked about starting his recording the Outrider album. And I'm going to try and dig it down here to it here. There is, by the way, a website, http, Jimmy Page, one word, /onthisday.tumblr.com. And Tumblr is T-U-M-B-L-R. So that's again Jimmy Page /onthisday. That's all kind of one word. .tumblr.com. And that's an HTTP, no www, although it probably works www. And they, whoever's doing this, is backing up all his On This Days. So if you missed one, no big deal. Just jump on that site and go see it. And I kind of keep an eye backwards as well as forwards on it. Just in case I feel like I missed something. So yeah, on the 9th, it was, he played the Sun Dome in Tampa, Florida with Outrider. So he started the Outrider tour. Or third date of the Outrider tour was in Tampa at the USF Sun Dome. But they played I Just Want to Make Love to You, a sound clip. And it's also on this page. If you missed it, go listen to it. And it sounds like it is, now I believe the song made it on Outrider, but this sounds like it's an outtake. It's not the one that made it. So that's interesting. New music from Jimmy Page. That's always a cool thing, even if it's old new music. On September 8th, the day before that, Good Fun. It was the first gig of Led Zeppelin. It was on September 8th. And Steve Sauer talks about, by the way, he was in New York City catching the Yardbirds at the B.B. King Blues Club. On the same date, on September 8th this year, and actually interviewed Chris Dreja, and he talks about that a bit, so you will get to that in 5 minutes. But the interesting thing about this is yes, first gig, okay, we all knew that, we're prepared for it, but they also played with a band called The Ladybirds. And of course, they were billed as The Yardbirds, so it's The Yardbirds and The Ladybirds. And The Ladybirds were, you know, a pop band, all girls, they played topless, and he's got pictures in it. So I'm not 14, this is not pornography, so it's not some titillating thing that you have to go look at. It's more fun to kind of look and say, oh, geez, that would have been titillating to be there, I suppose, at the time. Grainy black and white pictures aren't doing it for me here, if that's what you're thinking. But it's kind of fun to go look at, it's kind of a fun thing. And then just a couple of days ago, Jimmy Page announced that he's re-releasing the Death Wish 2 soundtrack. It's going to be a limited edition of only 1,000. It will have the theme from Death Wish 2 redone. I don't think it was actually on the original album. Looking at the back of it currently, and I had to listen to it today, actually just before starting this. I don't think the actual theme was on it. Well, there was Jill's theme. Maybe that's the one. But he's the actual theme to Death Wish 2 that he used in the movie, the beginning of the movie. There is one with new words. And it's going to be a special introduction with Jimmy Page inside it. And they're releasing it. It's 1,000. More significantly, maybe, than the fact that he's re-releasing this. It's on LP, by the way. That's not a CD or MP3 release. It's on LP. probably more significant is that he was releasing it on the Jimmy Page shop on his website. And up until 2 days ago when he announced that, there was no such thing as a Jimmy Page shop. And actually, there's not yet. It's a little time away from being released, I think. It's not... end of October, I think, was the date. And if you forgive me a second while I look it up, it is... Maybe that's important enough. What do you think? Recorded Death Wish 2. There we go. 30th anniversary. So it's on the 30th anniversary. 1,000 copies released forthcoming Jimmy Page shop. Stay tuned to jimmypage.com. And that's about what it says. Yeah, so it doesn't say the actual date. Coming up is what he says. So we have that to look forward to. If you never got an album, like I've had the album since probably the day it was released. We went and seen, in 1982, we went and seen Death Wish 2 when it hit the theater, like the day it hit the theaters, just because Jimmy Page did the music and we were expecting, I don't know, Kashmir. I don't know what we were expecting. I remember thinking, oh, okay. But also picked up the album probably the day it was released, certainly that week sometime I picked it up. And I bet you I've listened to it 5 times in that 30 years. So I will not, you will not be in competition with me for one of the 1,000, because I already have it. And I'm sure I will hear the redone version of the intro. So I'm not, you know. But it's not a bad album, and I'm going to talk about that a bit later too. In the review section at the end, I'm actually going to talk about this album. And it's not a bad album, it is what it is. It's more the case. So we'll get to that. Jason Bonham. You can pre-order the Black Country Communion DVD. It's available. It's October release, but it's available. You can get, you know, and I'm not sure. You know, I had this discussion with my wife and kids tonight at dinner. And I had no idea why people pre-order DVDs and CDs, because just go to the store that day and they're there. But you can pre-order it on the website. It'll show up at your door on the day. And I've discovered recently that if you actually pre-order on websites with stuff like this, often it shows up 3-4 days, but it'll show up the Friday before when it's released on the Monday or the Tuesday. And I was scrambling 3-4 weeks ago, a book I wanted, and thought of pre-ordering on the author's website. Came out, and I was scrambling the day it was released, because nobody had the damn book, and something happened to the release date. And I ended up buying an ebook version, putting it on my ebook reader, which was fine, but not what I wanted to do. But that was on the Monday. I'm running around trying to get this book, and on the Friday I'm hearing about all sorts of people have the book. So I guess that's a reason for pre-ordering off a website. But other than that, you can order the DVD. You can pre-order the DVD. It's DVD. It's Blu-ray. It's also a CD apparently. And speaking of ordering off the BCC website, just as one of those asides, I have ordered the LP for BCC 2. It's available. It's reasonably, $25. It's pretty much cost me what it's cost me to go to the store, and I can't find it in the store anywhere around here. So, it's coming. Probably by the time the next one's out, I'll be yakking on about my wonderful BCC 2 album. And if you go, by the way, to the BCC website, you can sign up. If you've already signed up and put your email address, well, just put your email address in again. They don't send 6 emails if you happen to. Put it in 6 times, but yeah, if not, put in your email address, and you can download a live version of Song of Yesterday. This will be the version that appears, I presume, this is the version that appears on the DVD. It's good. It's about 9 minutes long, and the guitar part's really crisp and comes alive in this live version. Really, and a great solo by Joe Bonamassa in it. And really cool how the keyboards and the solo of the keyboard just... because it's live, he's got to cover some of the stuff that was done in studio with the guitars and stuff. You know, where your overdubs get into play. So the keyboards really come up big in the solo. And it's a good version. It was really enjoyable version. And as well with Jason Bonham. Seven new tour dates have been added to the tour. And let me think what I got here. So, I got to go England, New Jersey, Hartford, Buffalo, Orillia. Okay, Gatineau, Quebec. We still don't have a place for that. Quebec City. We still don't have a building for that. Oh, yes, we do. Sorry. The Grand Theater in Quebec City on November 7th. And that was the last date they had before. Now they are also going to the Fillmore in Silver Springs, Maryland. Is that MD, Maryland? That's on November 10th, so 3 days after Quebec City. November 11th, they're in Poughkeepsie, New York. My wife and I have a joke about Poughkeepsie. It's about 6 hours from our house and, 2 hours from New York City. So we kind of, we'll drop my daughter off. Or say we drop my daughter off for work at 6 and say, be in Poughkeepsie by noon. So it's kind of, Poughkeepsie by noon is a joke line with us. And we can't help resist every time we drive through Poughkeepsie. Richmond, Virginia on the 12th. Atlanta, Georgia on the 13th. And that's 4. I don't know what happened to the other 3. There is supposed to be 7 dates. 7 new dates. And this is the first time, by the way, in Poughkeepsie and Atlanta, possibly Virginia. So the Led Zeppelin experience is starting to expand out a little in terms of that stuff. And so it's becoming a fairly big fall tour now. They're starting on October 12th, and as of now, it runs to November 13th, so it's a month long. Getting upwards of 20 dates, I bet. And who knows, maybe they'll extend that to the end of November and get another 10 dates in, you think? I would not be surprised. And one last note, one of those things that comes up. Mick Jagger, the rumor is the Rolling Stones are going to play the Olympics, the opening ceremonies at the Olympics in London in 2012, next summer. Mick Jagger has said, no. Bryan Adams, and there's kind of a thing here, I suppose. Bryan Adams and Nelly Furtado sang a duet of Bang the Drum. Bryan Adams, Bang the Drum. And Adams has told Mick Jagger, oh, you don't want to do it. Bryan Adams said, this is a quote from Mick Jagger, whatever you do, don't do any Olympic openings, after he did the Winter Games in Canada. Now, surprisingly, this has not caused a stir in Canada, because Canadians get really touchy about this kind of thing. What do you mean you don't want to do an Olympic, we get really, really touchy on this sort of thing. Very oddly, one of our very odd quirks as a nation. He's supposed to be grateful that we let him sing at it, not complain that it didn't go so hot. But that's what he told him. Oh, don't bother. Don't do it. But here's the reason I mention it. Here's the part of the article. He went on to mock Britain's contribution to the closing ceremonies at the Beijing Olympics in 2008. This is Mick Jagger, actually, not Bryan Adams. When legendary Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page performed as part of a passing of the torch tribute to London, the host of the Summer Games. One of the British capital's famous double-decker buses was at the center of the spectacle. And if you remember Jimmy Page and Leona Lewis on top of the bus doing a whole lot of love. And here's what Mick Jagger says. It wasn't a brilliant piece of theater when they left the stadium with a London bus with Jimmy Page on it, Jagger told the BBC. I don't want to be on that bus when it arrives in London. And fair enough. This is, like, Bryan Adams probably has a point that it's not the funnest gig in the world. And they made him wear a ridiculous suit, and you have no control over what happens. It's also regulated, and I can see that. But there's this stuff about, I hate to be the, well, you can't say bad things about Jimmy Page. I'm not saying that. But this kind of idea, it's not a brilliant piece of theater. Cares it wasn't a brilliant piece of theater. Somebody asked him to do something, he stepped up, he did it. Sometimes these guys drive me nuts with their, it's a credibility issue. It was a one-off. It's not like he spent a year on top of the stupid bus. That maybe is something. It's a one-off. It was a bit of a lark, and he did it, and we all do stuff like that in life. But Mick Jagger apparently is above doing that sort of thing. So, well, good for him. I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of rumor they're going to tour in the next couple of years. Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be graceful and dignified. Anyway, that's that. Here's the interview with Steve Sauer. Steve the Lemon Sauer, writes the website LedZeppelinNews.com. Lemon Squeezing. And as he noted at the intro, is presently working very much with Carol Miller's Get the Lead Out. And just recently, just 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, was in New York City interviewing Chris Drea of the Yardbirds on behalf of Carol Miller's Get the Lead Out. And that's, I start the interview asking about that. How was it meeting Chris Drea, by the way?
Oh, Chris Drea was great.
Yeah.
I love the idea that I was in New York on what happened to be the 40-something anniversary of Led Zeppelin's first performance, 43rd?
Yeah, that'd be about right.
And seeing the Yardbirds.
Yeah.
Zeppelin was actually called the Yardbirds on that day. And it's funny that 43 years later, that name is again being used.
Yeah, it is.
And there it is, like original members Chris Drea and Jim McCarty. They performed outstanding. And it was great sitting down with Chris before the, before soundcheck. It was a really good day, and Carol Biller came in and everything. It was just great being in the presence of greatness on what I considered a milestone occasion.
Cool. Very nice. So what did he have to say? Anything interesting?
There was actually one presumption that I always had from reading various books and stuff, and that was sort of that Chris had been presumed to be the bass player in Jimmy Page's new band, and that somehow maybe Jimmy had edged John Paul Jones in or something like that. But that wasn't the case at all. Actually, Chris Drea says that he never really did intend to be in another band at that point, unless it was going to be the Yardbirds just continuing with Jim and Keith Ralph and everything. Jimmy Page's new band was always going to be, I'm just getting a new band together. You're not going to be in it. But, hey, would you mind checking out these guys, Robert Plant and John Bonham, with me?
Okay, so he was never actually asked to be in the band.
At the auditions, which was pretty cool.
Cool, very cool.
He had. This was not, like, our first interview with Chris Drea. He recently also said that, they knew, I think it was July 31st when they saw Bonham in concert. They knew right away that he was going to be the drummer that Jimmy was looking for.
Oh, yeah.
But they weren't so sure about Robert.
Well, I've heard that through the years. It was up until about the third album they weren't sure on him, right?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know, it was instant. When they saw Bonham, they knew that he was going to be the drummer. No question about it. As far as Robert, I mean, no. If any reservations were probably allayed very shortly thereafter. I mean, I've also heard things about, it really wasn't until the first few U.S. dates or something like that that Robert's future in Zeppelin was certain. But at least, we'll say, at the time that they were passing records back and forth at Jimmy Page's place, when they settled down, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You and stuff, that was pretty much a crucial moment. Yeah, Robert and Jimmy had something, you know, going on.
Yeah. Yeah, really cool. You mentioned John Bonham and how he was an instant in the band. And today on your Facebook page, you asked, what's special about Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, what's special?
As I get older, it's John Bonham. It's that groove he laid down was just so special every time, you know?
Yeah, you know, I would almost have to say that one of the most influential records for me growing up came out when I was 11 years old, and it was Nirvana's Nevermind. At the time, what I loved about it was Kurt Cobain. You know, just his messages or his lack of messages sometimes. But what keeps me going back and listening to what's now a 20-year-old album is really Dave Grohl and his drumming.
Yeah.
So I can totally see how people would say that about John Bonham as well. I mean, and I do to a certain extent, except that I also listen to Led Zeppelin for every other member as well.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on there, but
yeah.
You know, it's something that I just as I get older, I notice it more and more. Man, he plays that drum kit like nobody else does.
Oh, man, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of Robert Plant saying he might do something with Jeff Beck?
You know, I really didn't know what to make of that. That could just be another one of those storylines where, you know, Roger Daltrey says he wants to work with Jimmy Page. And Jeff Beck says he wants to work with Robert Plant. But it also seems like it was sort of an offhand remark and that everybody's making a bigger deal out of it. That the opportunity for them to work together isn't even there at this point. And right. It's just him making an offhand remark. Oh, yeah, sure, Robert's a great guy. And they've worked together in the past. Look at the Honey Drippers. And, of course, they go way back. I really find it interesting that around 1990, Plant was doing interviews and said about Jeff Beck's ego not letting him, you know, be reliable back in those days. And that's why Jeff Beck Group dropped out some of those early U.S. dates. And Zeppelin just naturally got put in their place. It was Peter Grant's doing. He was managing both bands.
Yeah. 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 I think Beck these days, though, he's, I don't know, matured, I guess, would be the answer. But he seems to be taking it more seriously than ever, doesn't he?
I guess so. I mean, as a musician, or what do you mean, Brian?
Yeah, just as career wise, you know, he's on the road almost always now, and which he wasn't in the younger days. And
well, I thought at the time, was it April 2009 when Beck got inducted as a solo artist into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think that's right.
And Jimmy inducted him, Jimmy Page, and I thought at the time. And I put on Lemon Squeezings at the time. Why don't these two dudes do something together? They talked backstage that night about them being procrastinators, like mutually. and I thought, well, you know, who better to help motivate a guy than a fellow procrastinator?
That's true.
Jeff Beck has been putting out records every year for the last six.
I know. He's got some great bands he puts out there, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Have you seen his bass player?
Yeah, she's...
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the young, very young girl, actually. She's about 22 now, just, isn't she?
Okay, yeah.
She's really young, yeah, really. Yeah, she's a hell of a bass player, though.
Great stuff.
Yeah. See, Jimmy Page is going to be bringing Outrider, not Outrider, but...
Death Wish 2.
Yeah, Death Wish 2 out again.
Yeah, 1,000 copies. Are you getting one?
No, you know what? I have the album.
You know what's funny? I think I might have it sitting here.
Yeah, I was going to listen to it tonight, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I mean, I maybe listened to it 5 times since the day it came out, so.
Oh, yeah. That's probably about as many times as I've... Here it is. Yeah. Here it is.
There it is, indeed, yeah.
See? There is truth to my claims every now and then, Brian.
That's right. I believe you. but the more important thing really was that... he's opening a Jimmy Page store that we haven't had before.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see what else goes on the store. I mean, this opens the doors up to the credibility of Coverdale. You know, the Coverdale Page album being re-released in some sort of bonus treatment. I mean, that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. There have been hints about that for the last few years. I think that could be on the horizon. Also, from talking with Chris Drea last week, there was a question that I posed to him about, you know, all these Yardbirds releases. What's the deal with how can there be so many? And he even said, yeah, sometimes there have been things put out there that probably shouldn't have. I was like, what, 3 versions of Got to Hurry or something like that? there is an awful lot of Yardbird stuff. There's one box set, not to plug anything, but I'm hoping that it gets released sometime this year. I can't even remember the name of the company anyway, but it's about 5 or 6 CDs with a lot of interviews dispersed that looks like it could be a pretty good collection. Every once in a while, you know, there is a new Yardbirds collection that's new that looks kind of like worthwhile for the investment.
Right. Yeah, I remember that 6 CD set. Actually, they were going to email me when it was coming out and stuff. It was supposed to be in the summer.
It was supposed to be in the summer, yeah.
I had contact with them, but now. Never heard anything.
It feels like fall in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Have you seen the Robert Plant DVD yet?
Yeah. I think I have
that. You have that? Mine's not right beside me. It was before, yeah.
That was good. I really thought, you know, I saw what posts by you and Wyatt on For Bad Shoulders Only. And Wyatt gave a really detailed review of it with which I agree in a lot of aspects. I mean, you don't see stuff like this on Robert's post Zeppelin output.
Right.
Got really detailed in a few places, and that was very nice to see. You know what I would like to see on a DVD is a little bit of picking songs apart as they're performed from, you know, this part of the tour to that part of the tour, and then when they decide, forget that whole arrangement, let's do something entirely new, start from scratch, and then they do it differently the next night, and from there on.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some sort of thing like that, because I went to like 5 Plant Crouch shows in 2008, and like 4 Band of Joy shows between 2010 and 2011, and I've seen, you know, the changes and stuff, and it's just pretty fun to watch that on a nightly basis.
Yeah, the documentary of the song, sort of that. That'd be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think Plant's going to show up with Krause this weekend in Texas? I think that's what he's doing there.
With Patty Griffin, you mean?
Well, Alison Krauss is playing at, I got to think of where it is now. She's playing the Austin City Limits tomorrow.
Is she? Hadn't heard that.
Yeah, and he's running around Texas.
Yeah, yeah. I do, you know, I believe the Patty Griffin one coming up next Thursday, that people who are at, help me out, the name of that festival.
Yeah, there's a funny little festival, isn't it? El Cosmico.
Yeah. That's the name of the hotel. It's the Trans Pecos.
Oh, is that right?
Music, you know, Festival of Music and Love or something.
It's in the town of Marfa.
Marfa, Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
How far is that from Austin?
I have no idea. I
came across it in my wanderings earlier this year.
Yeah, no, Texas is pretty big, I think, so it could be a long way off. For sure. Yeah.
It is very big.
Yeah.
I went as far west as Austin earlier this year. I spent a lot of time in Nashville, Tennessee, a lot of time in Clarksdale, Mississippi. One thing that may be of interest to your listeners, Brian, is when I went into this one place called the, I'm going to come up with the name of it. It's the Dockery. No. Is it the Dockery Plantation? Yes, it is. Okay, and you go in there, and there are these old gin mills and things that are all really dusty because they're old. They're, you know, decades old. They're a century old, maybe more. I have no idea. But they're so dusty that people can put their names in it, in, like, you know, a glass. And so you see that on top of the glass, there's a whole bunch of graffiti. Robert Plant is in this graffiti, and it looks, you know, handwritten. It's not a signature. You can clearly make out, like, not in cursive or anything, but Robert Plant.
Right.
You know, and it looks kind of authentic, as if you go up inside this thing, if you're Robert Plant, you see, there's a space for my name, and he signs it. You know what I mean?
He is that kind of guy that would do it too, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So just spotting that, I went, well, shoot, he was here.
that's all the questions I got for you, Steve.
Great stuff, man.
So thanks
for... thank you for doing what you're doing, man. This is good.
And thank you, Steve. I'm going to get better at the editing of that stuff as we go. What I really got to do is give myself a couple of seconds at the end, say kind of thank you and give a couple of seconds hangover there. I ended up talking into that a bit. So I'm, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there. How's that? Okay, I'm going to do a couple of reviews. Nothing new. There is absolutely nothing new out there. So don't, this is not spectacularly new. But I wanted to talk about two things that, well, sorry, one of the things is new. So sorry, that's true. But first off, Death Wish 2, it's going to be re-released. It's being released, I talked about it earlier, it's being released in LP form, 1,000 only, from the JimmyPage.com store. And as Steve mentioned, the more interesting thing about the JimmyPage.com store is, what else is he going to do? And he mentioned the Coverdale page, which would be really cool. I recently pulled that in and listened to it in my car, and oh god, it's, you know, That it is way there's some of it's not so much, but there is maybe half of that Coverdale page. It is really quite good, and it is the only thing I don't have on LP that I can think of that Jimmy Page has done since founding Led Zeppelin. I have the Roy Harper, I have the Death Wish, and I have Outrider, and I have both the Firms, both the Page and maybe I don't have the second Page and Plant, but I have most of that stuff on vinyl. Definitely don't have the Coverdale page. So it'd be cool if that one you would be competing with me at the lineup for the Jimmy Page store if it hit. But anyway, we're talking about Death Wish 2, which ought to hit the stores in the next couple of weeks sometime. What the exact date is, we don't know. And here's, if you've never heard it, here's the thing. Half of this album, if not a little more than half of this album, is sounds more than music. It's music for movies. It's chase scene, and there is one called The Chase, and there's one called City Siren, and you can imagine what these are like, and they were slotted into the movies. They were designed to be put in this minute and a half of movie. So that's what, that is what they is. However, there's a couple of songs, with words, with a singer, that sort of thing. Chris Farlow sings on Who's to Blame, the opening track of the album. Good track, good piece of music. And much like Outrider, Chris Farlow's an Outrider, and just it's lessened by his presence. Let's just put it that way. It would be a way better song if somebody else was just playing. Just somebody else was singing and conceivably even writing the words. I don't know. I didn't listen to the words that closely. City Sirens is an instrumental. Gordon Edwards singing and playing piano. And it's an alright one. It's kind of a... It's got a nice groove to it. And it's sung well. It's, it's an alright song. That's not bad. Jam Sandwich comes next. You probably can figure, it's a kind of a jam. It's an instrumental. And it's just riff and lead guitars and drums. And it's a slide guitar over a lick that sounds quite remarkably like Another One Bites the Dust. And then, I was listening to it thinking, if I ever decide to take a 30-second clip and use it as kind of the theme leading into this podcast, that might be the clip I would use. It's perfect for that. It would be it's got a nice Jimmy Page groove to it, and it's got the slide guitar, and it was a good listen. There's a few things here and there. Prelude is probably the best piece on the album, actually, and it is a Chopin piece. Prelude number 4 in E minor, Opus 28 is the full term. He credits it on this album to Jimmy Page. To Page specifically, but it is a Chopin piece, and he played it on the Outrider tour, and there's some great YouTube clips of him playing it, and it's just, it really demonstrated of the fact that he's a virtuoso musician. He's not just some guy who plays guitar. He doesn't just do blues licks and rhythm. He's really different. He's above a lot of people. He really is a quality guitar player, and it proves it when you see him playing this live. It's one of those, aha, yes, he is better than others. Whether I would, I've listened to this 5 times in the last 30 years. Will I listen to it more in the next 30 years? Probably about the same. It'll probably be every 5 years. You pull it out and say, I don't even remember that album. What's it like? And you put it on, and then I go, oh, yeah, okay, this City Sirens is pretty good. And Jam Sandwich is cool. And, oh, yeah, there's that Chopin Prelude again. But anyway, he's releasing 1,000 of them, and it's going to be a collector's. And it's, if I didn't have the album, I'd probably be getting it. No, not probably. I'd be doing it. If you don't have it, this is your chance. All right, and finally, one more thing. The O2 rehearsals are made available. I mentioned this earlier, too. They rehearsed at Shepperton Studios leading up to the 2007 O2 Arena performances. A side note I learned this summer, the O in O2 is a letter, not a number. I always thought it was a number, and I've always typed it that way. And it was Steve Sauer, actually, when I was writing for his blog while he was off writing something else, pointed out to me that it was actually a letter. So that's just, there's what it is. I assumed it was O2 as in 2002. I had no idea what it actually means. Oxygen, I guess. I don't know why it's called the O2. But anyway, I mentioned before, it's available at the Ultimate Bootleg Experience, ultimatebootlegexperience2.blogspot.com. I did mention the downloading sites he uses are, like, he doesn't use Mega Upload or Rapid Share, which are the more common ones. He's had problems with them, and so he's gone with some lesser ones. And they can be, when I was trying to download this, it was not cooperating. And I think it was because a lot of other people were trying to download it at the same time. And, you know, he's using free sites, and they're trying to promote fast downloads, and he's probably uploading for free himself. So you run into this. And he actually mentions at the beginning of his blog, and how sad of this world that, you know, this guy puts up all, so he downloads it from other sites, compiles it together, uploads it to Mega Upload, but to what does he use? He uses FileServe, FileSync, and FileFactory. And then people go, oh man, you use crappy hosting services. What kind of world is this sometimes? You know. So he does say, please guys, stop complaining about my hosting services. I don't have problems with these ones like Mega Upload. I guess he's had problems with Mega Upload. All stuff here is available for free to everyone who wants it. I don't ask you to pay, to donate, to register, to leave your ratio over 25 or nothing else. If you don't want to wait for the download entire show, go to the torrent sites, download the site for yourself. If you have only hope to see some seed or worse, and hope that some Nazi bastard moderator, you have only hope to see some seed or worse, hope that some Nazi bastard moderator won't ban you if you don't have a ratio bigger than 0.25 or register more than one account there. Are you asking yourself how many times take me to download torrents, split the RAR archive, upload in three different hosts? So yeah, in other words, he's doing a lot of work here. He's piecing it all together for you, and then he uploads it to these sites. These are the ones that work on his end. They can be a little difficult on your end. And that's the price you pay for him doing all that stuff. That's the way it is. So don't, if you download the stuff, you know what? Hit the comment button. Thank him. Don't bitch about what he's put up or how he's put it up. He's put it up for you. But it's there. The Ultimate Bootleg Experience 2.blogspot.com. They're called the Triumph Rehearsals. 5th of December 2007. Shepperton Studios. That's on Shepperton Road in London, I believe it is. And here is the set list for it. It's not a set, of course. The intro, it's the same intro they use at the O2 show. Good Times, Bad Times, Ramble On, Black Dog, In My Time of Dying, For Your Love, For Your Life, Trampled Underfoot, Nobody's Fault But Mine, No Quarter, intro only. It cuts after about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Disc 2, Since I've Been Loving You, Days of Confused, Stairway to Heaven, The Song Remains the Same, Misty Mountain Hop, The End is Cut, Kashmir, Whole Lot of Love, Rock and Roll. I haven't checked it against the set list from that show. Nothing sticks out as being missing, but there may be something missing. Here's it available on FLAC, which is a lossless compression system. So you expand it back to WAVE and burn it on CDs, and you don't have various clipping problems and other issues. And he also has it on MP3. He's got now it's just FileServe, FileSonic, FileFactory. Beside it says Link 1 and Link 2. You have to download both Link 1 and Link 2. That's not like, if this doesn't work, use this one. It's two different files. They're a zip file, two of them. You have to download them both, one per disk. And they are, there is one of the torrent sites has it up now. I don't recall the name of it offhand. And I'm not about to find it in a hurry, apparently. It's actually, while you're on this guy's site, go through, he's got a sidebar of all this stuff. He's got a lot of stuff for download, including a lot of Led Zeppelin. And I went through his Led Zeppelin stuff. And one I stumbled across, he's got 94 Led Zeppelin downloads all total, and one of them was outtakes from In Through the Outdoor, which I haven't listened to yet. I downloaded it. I have not listened to it yet. But I'll probably mention that sometime in the next week or two. That'll be interesting to listen to. All right, so now, this bootleg, this it is... It's not like some guy standing in the room with a microphone. It's off the board, and it's great sounding in terms of, well, in terms of pure sound. It's mixed really well. The guitar, you know, when you want the guitar to stand out, it stands out. When you want the keyboards to stand out, and the one that struck me on this was Trampled Underfoot. The keyboard just stands way out over everything else, and it sounds great. It sounds really great. Since I've been loving you, the guitar comes to the fore. It's mixed well, it's recorded well, the guitar sounding great. There's a moment in No Quarter, and then, like I say, it's only about a minute and a half in No Quarter, but just at the end of the intro, you know, Paige comes in with that those chords on the wah-wah pedal, and as he ends and the keyboard takes over, he holds that note, and it lasts about 4 or 5 bars. It's just there, and no fade whatsoever. The compressor is just working that day. And if you play guitar, you know what I mean by the compressor, because compressors are the weirdest effect pedal. They will give you this long sustain. But one day it'll work great, and the next day it won't work for crap. And I have no idea why. I use mine so rarely because I get so frustrated with it. It doesn't do what you expect it to do day in, day out. Whereas all the other pedals, if the settings are the same, you press it down, it's the same guitar, the same amp, the same settings, everything's the same. But the compressor, sometimes it's louder, sometimes it's quieter, sometimes the sustain lasts forever, sometimes it really kind of seems to cut the sustain. And this one, it's working. It just holds and holds and holds and holds. It's just a beautiful moment in music. You can really hear, too, Good Times, Bad Times. Jason Bonham is doing some harmony vocals on the chorus, and it really comes out in this. I don't know if he actually did it in the live show. I know he does it on Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. I don't know if he actually did it at the O2. I presume if this was the last rehearsal, that they must have done it, unless they ran into some problems hooking up a microphone for him. That seems rather inconceivable when you think about it. I didn't notice it at the time, and I've certainly never done this. It really comes out that, oh, there's a guy singing harmony vocals there. And it goes right the way through. There's all sorts of these little quirks that come up. Now, I haven't listened to the whole thing. I've listened to the second disc only up to Stairway to Heaven, which is the third song. Stairway to Heaven, they did in a different key at the show. They did a fair number of songs in different keys to accommodate Robert Plant's voice. The only one I ever noticed at the time at the show, I kind of went, song remains the same, sounds odd. And I presume that was a key change. It was the only one I really noticed ever. I've heard other people mention Stairway to Heaven was changed. And it really stands out in this, that it's just different sounding. For some reason, it doesn't stand out when they do it at the show, but here it really does. The guitar just sounds lower. And it is. I should sit someday and figure out what key they did it in. Probably G. Probably dropped it a tone, but who knows for sure. And there's one other thing I was going to mention about all this. No, I must be... Robert Plant in this. The one downside of this, and maybe it's not a downside. It doesn't sound bad. It's great sounding, and the music is good. Robert Plant's holding back a bit. Everyone else seems to be kind of really giving her, and it's the nature of singers. It's, you know, this is not a slap at Robert Plant. It's the nature of singers that, you know, a couple of days before the show, they're like pitchers. If you're not in the UK, or, you know, if you're American, you know, pitchers pitch off the mound halfway between their starts. You know, they 5 days between their starts, the third day they'll get up and they'll play some toss basically with the catcher off the mound. But they really don't give it their all. They don't work their arm hard. Singers are the same. The guitar player wants to make sure he's got his soles down. He wants to make sure his fingers are loose. The drummer wants to make sure he's hitting everything. Musicians are giving it their all. The singer is worried about screwing up his voice. He's not worried about giving it his all. He's not worried about making sure he's limbered up and ready and he's got it all together. He's worried about don't screw the voice over for the show. And he sounded great the night of the show. Robert Plant did. You know, and he hit a lot of hard rock and roll stuff, so that you can't complain that at the rehearsal maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe he wasn't giving it the fist full. I don't think he was sloughing, or I don't think he was not concentrating. I think he was just, you know, saving it up, and it worked. So that's what counts. So it is good. It's a, you know, if you see it on the internet, it's it is released by Tarantura, Tarantura, probably if you go to record shows, and that's what I'm going to, a record show possibly this weekend. I suspect I'd stumble across it there, but it is on the internet now. It is on one of the torrent sites, and it is at this place, at the Ultimate Bootleg Experience. Check it out if you want to. It's really worth listening to. Just as a Led Zeppelin fan, it's worth going over, worth listening to. Okay, last story of the day. This is a bit of a fun one. And I'm going to, maybe this is a good way to end this thing. Maybe I'm going to try and find a story like this every week or every 2 weeks. But, you know, sometimes I have a hard time finding material, period. Never mind fun material. But anyway, 64-year-old Missouri man has legally changed his name from George F. Blackburn to Led Zeppelin II. Yes, like the 1969 album by Led Zeppelin, I reinvented myself, Zeppelin told StLouisToday.com via Boing Boing. We live in a strange world. Since I became a Led Zeppelin, my life has improved 1,000-fold. And I think Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, Jason, and John Bonham could also pretty much say the same thing in about 1971. Apparently, reinventing yourself as an album is quite easy in Missouri. A legal name change costs around $200, can't be blocked by a judge if he or she finds the new moniker would be proper and not detrimental to the interests of any other person. The person seeking the change also can't be trying to defraud creditors or hide from the law. Another guy profiled in the story is now known as Robert 52 Jackson because he's a big 50 Cent fan and his son is named 52. But back to our friend Zeppelin, who told St. Louis Today he's been a lifelong fan of Zeppelin's, the Balloons, and Zeppelin the band, who he saw live in Chicago in the late 1960s. His ex-wife calls him LZ or Zepp, and he finds this all quite normal. I don't want to appear in some off-the-wall drug addict idiot, he said. I just changed my name from the standpoint that I can't be a better person than I used to be. Standpoint that I can be a better person than I used to be. What could be better than a triple whammy? Whole lot of love, what is and what should never be, and the Lemon Song, that opens side one of Led Zeppelin II. Well, all of Led Zeppelin 4, but we won't quibble. Goes the article, and oh, somebody knows their Led Zeppelin, apparently. I would agree with that 100%. Yes, what could be better than the first side of Led Zeppelin 2? First side of Led Zeppelin 4. But there you go. There's your fun story of the day. Led Zeppelin 2. If you live in Missouri, the name Led Zeppelin 2 is taken. You better hurry out and get Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin 3, Zoso, Presence, Physical Graffiti, Led Zeppelin 4, Untitled. But up here in Ontario, presumably Led Zeppelin 2 is still available. So that maybe I'll I'm in through the outdoor. Nah, that's got connotations. But I don't know what I would change my name to. Maybe I'll just go with Achilles. That's kind of a cool name. That's me. This is Achilles Gardner signing off on the Ramble On podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Steve the Lemon Sour for helping out today. Have a good night. Have a good week.